Okay, this is 14 Sept AD 11, St. Hill Special Briefing Course. And there's nothing much to talk to you about today. And probably you should all go home. There's hardly anything to learn. It's too much. Besides, if you did learn it, what could you do with it? People would get clear. Because people would get clear, that's all. Something horrible happened. You got a new routine that is going to require of you some additional skills. And that routine, I repeat, consists of setting the PC down, finding the PC's goal, finding the PC's terminal, assessing the prehab level, and running the prehab level. And then assessing for engrams the PC has been in valence in. And then handling the various engrams one by one. And now we come to a question mark. How soon we return to the prehab general runs after we've done that. It's not been determined. But I'll tell you this, you'll see a PC's needle get awful loose after you've run a couple of engrams. Boy, it starts getting awful loose. I'd say offhand, probably depends on the PC to a marked degree, how many engrams you ran before you ran back to the general run of things. Because after you've run one or two engrams, of course, the PC is going to be in some sort of... Well, he's going to have all kinds of locks and everything stacked up and a whole new set of engrams. You find the PC changes gradiently. They lose their chronic somatics at first, and then they lose their chronic emotional difficulties. And third or fourth engram, why, they probably lose some other things and start to get down to cases on the thing. And then if you do another general run, assess again on the prehab level and do the general run on their terminal once more, you'll probably come up with some more an interesting series of engram scan. And then you have to do the same thing. Theoretically, the engram should run faster and faster. They should do better and better. And we're into a phase of it which we've had trouble with before. And that is getting somebody to run an engram. And we have the answer to that. Get subjective reality on being in some engrams, and you won't have any difficulty running them. Trying to run an engram without any subjective reality winds up in ARC breaks and upsets of magnitude, but nevertheless can be done and will have to be done in some places of the world. All right. That general rundown, of course, is flanked by security checks. The whole thing is flanked by security checks, everything about it. Running engrams, general prehab run, terminal checking, goals checking, just to run it backwards. That's all flanked by security checks. What ratio of security check and so forth? Well, the more difficult it was to get a PC in session, the more I'd concentrate on a security check. That's a proportionate amount. If a PC is difficult to get into session or difficult to keep in session, I would just come down on that security check with spike boots. Because that's where it lies. That's where you're going to get the fastest release of anything. And if you can't seem to get any place on a security check, there is an extreme form of security check known as the not-no version of security checks. I wouldn't advise running it. Now that you're running engrams, there's no point in running the other because you'll run him into two or three different chains. If you start running not-no, you see, on engrams, and that'll carry forward one set of engrams, and then terminal carries forward another set, and it's all kind of messy. And if you're going to run anything like engrams, I just run them on the terminal line. That's where they appear. Now let's look it over. What's made this activity possible? We were steered widely out of course by auditors taking forever to assess or auditors taking no time at all to assess. This lecture is on assessment, goals, terminal assessment. I'm just following the routine down. Yesterday I took up security checks. Today, well, I'll take up goals and terminal assessments. We were steered wildly out of our course by auditors. Number one, first instance, just assessing I don't know what. Get some old tomato can off the shelf and gaze at their reflection in it or something and say, well, that's your goal and that's your terminal and you've had it. And then that went to the other Aristotelian extreme. Well, 285 hours later, we're still assessing for the goal. Somewhere in between that is the best amount. But if you take more than 10 or 12 hours for assessing for a goal, I can tell you very, very plainly that your rudiments are out. Now, Washington course, you know, had 30 students, and throughout the course, in the course of 30 hours, they probably only got about 30 hours of auditing per student in that 6 weeks course on goals. And during that 30 hours, they found not one goal. There was no cross-checking on rudiments in that course, unlike the 22nd American, unlike the South African course. Similarly, very few goals were found on the Melbourne course, and I don't know positively whether or not they checked rudiments on each other or not, but I would say not. If they did, it was very ineffectual. And it boils down to this. Although the instructors of the Washington course are very incredulous. They are sort of on the communication lines now. Well, were certain people in the course that we found the goals and terminals on, well, were the goals and terminals in their first 150 list? And, you know, they just don't believe it. They just don't believe it. It just is not possible for them to comprehend that every one of their students had their rudiments out. Now, what they're not estimating is the delicacy of the goal and how rapidly it disappears from sight. And you either got to be a very skilled auditor with terrific altitude, or you've got to have the rudiments in. Take your choice. I can get goals and terminals with the rudiments out. All right, that's simply a question of altitude. The degree of altitude you have over your pre-C is the degree you can keep it in session. And that is the whole story of how to get the goal and terminal. But if you sit there and apparently don't know what you're doing, you're very unpositive, you know, you take the E-meter and say, well, see now, where's see the instruction book over here? See, what's this? Oh, I haven't got the cans plugged in. Yeah, well, here, cans. I don't know. Why are these called cans? Asked the PC. You haven't got any altitude anymore. It's gone. You just poured it down the sink. That's the end of it. All you got to do is sit there unconfident and you get an inconfident pre-clear. All you got to do just look stupid and sound stupid, and you'll have a stupid session. As an auditor, that's the whole works. Got to know your business. And the degree that you inspire confidence in the PC is actually just the degree that you know your business. The degree you can do the TRs, the degree you can do model session, the degree of familiarity with which you handle the E-meter, the positiveness and directness of your questions to the PC. These things are all altitude. If you want to know what altitude is, it has nothing to do with your past record. You can have the most marvelous past record in the world, and you sit down in front of this PC, fumble with the E-meter, fumble a command, be unconfident in your handling the PC, and you have no altitude. So altitude is never automatic. Altitude is made. And it is made right in session, every session, by the expertness with which you do the session. And if you want altitude, all you've got to do is do a letter-perfect session. And that's all there is to altitude. Because that itself inspires confidence in the PC. That's well worth knowing, isn't it? Don't let me ever hear you say now, any of you, well, if I was just wrong, I could get this done in a hurry. You just say instead, well, now, if I acted like I knew my business well enough, I would get this done in a hurry, okay? Because, look, I've got no altitude with some of the Pullman car porters I've audited. You know me from Adam. You know? Lots of the people I've audited, they never heard of me, they never heard of Scientology, never, nothing. Yet they respond immediately, at once, bang. Why? Why? Well, because I don't fumble. That's about the only thing you can say about it. Also, there's very high R. I keep a very high R in a session. Reality, up, up, up. I don't get chatty or nonsensical with the PC, but I am apt to be slightly didactic in a session. Not overwhelming, but just to keep the R up. If I don't think the PC's acting right, I'm liable to ask them, why aren't you in session? You know, I'm sitting there wondering why they're not in session, so I ask them why they're not in session. This R factor is such a tremendous factor. And it's so little appreciated and so little understood that a person's auditing will be incomprehensible to him in that it's apparently good with one PC or on one day and not good on another PC or on another day with the same PC. You see, his auditing skills goes over the roller coaster. Well, that's because his R goes over the roller coaster. His reality on the subject goes over the roller coaster. A PC can always tell. And so forth. Well, I gave a session last night, if the PC doesn't mind my remarking on it. And PC was at once struck with the fact that we were not going along as smoothly as we had the session before. Well, there's no question about the fact that the R was out. But it was out between me and the session. It wasn't out with much with the PC, but it was out between me and the session. Now, how was it out between me and the session? I didn't know what the hell to do. Two nights before, I had this PC in an engram. Night before, had the PC perfectly, right there. Had it all spotted and identified, all ready to run. Next session, I was going to take it up. Of course, that's a little mistake in itself, locate an engram and not run it. But not much of a mistake. You'll find yourself doing it quite often. It's unavoidable. And set the PC down, and what do you see? Well, I see blackness. What's going on? Nothing. What reactions can I get on a meter? Nothing. I start talking about this incident. Nothing. I get nowhere, and I suddenly say, where the hell am I, and what are we doing? Well, I didn't express it loud too much, and the R went out, just like that. But I myself was totally baffled. What the hell was going on? PC was of no assistance whatsoever. Quite usual. In running the type of engram you run into, the PC says, well, I just don't know. And that's it. You're not even asking a not-know question. I just don't know. And then the PC will get restive, too, when you've located an engram perfectly and the PC right in it, and then you've hit the same engram, and the PC can't find it. PC says, what's happening? Well, of course, to some slight degree, they blame the auditor. Why don't you take me and shove me into this engram? You know, that's kind of the thing. Well, what engram? How could I shove a PC into an engram I couldn't locate, identify, do anything with? I mean, that engram was a... You say, what are you looking at? PC said, I'm looking at blackness. Yeah, well, good. Now, where's this... go to the point where something or other was happening the last time or something like that. What do you see? Nothing. Blackness. Well, let's see what we can find in this. Well, in the first place, you're not looking for a needle in a haystack. A person who's looking for a needle in a haystack is looking for a needle. He knows it's a needle. Well, looking for an engram, you don't know what the hell you're looking for a lot of the time. You just don't know what you're looking for, because that's the keynote of an engram. Don't know. PC can't tell you, can't find out on the meter, and you yourself don't know. Now what? All right, so the R factor went out, And it was a little bit difficult to keep the PC in session, because my reality factor went out because it startled me, and then I never remarked on it to the PC. It did startle me. Was the PC in the engram? Wasn't the PC in the engram? Had we lost the engram? Was there something else? Were we on some kind of a chain? What was the matter here? Of course, it worked out. The PC was in the engram. And the engram didn't have anything much about it. It was just totally dark. It was all black. It was a black for a whole lifetime. The PC was blind. There were no remarkable somatics. There was nothing very dramatic, except how the PC had lost her eyesight, and that was done under an anesthetic, and that was unrecoverable. Took 3 hours to run the engram, which is kind of a championship run. I finally even resorted to lock scanning and some other tricks. Not lock scanning. I scanned the PC through that whole lifetime several times, trying to make the PC hang on the point of trauma. PC never hung. This PC keep running into these things, learning more about it, and ran emotional things. When were you apathetic? And so forth. Ran off emotional curves. Did everything I could think of. We finally got it. And we got it all straight. And it was the damnedest story anybody'd ever heard of. It almost made me sick at my stomach. But there it was. There it was. But the R factor went out, basically because I wasn't too frank with the PC, because I was taken totally by surprise. We find the engram, there it is, it has the somatics, it's all properly registered, it's got a picture, it's got Visio, it's everything with it. And you say, well, we'll catch it next session. Next session? What engram? Where? PC was right in it. That was the trouble with the whole thing. Nothing ever happened. PC totally dependent on Visio. No Visio. Sonic shut off. Emotional down curve. Everything else. All right. Now, I could have done better on this. You can always do better. You always have a 6-foot rear view mirror with a tiny little peephole in front. And I could have said, well, this is awfully odd here. It's a We had it, and where is it? Where is the point we had last night? And, you know, I'm puzzled about this, and possibly the R factor would have gone up. I don't know whether it would have or not, but it would have made an easier session. Well, it wasn't difficult to run the session. Nothing happened, except it just wasn't a very high-powered session. It took about 3 hours to run things. But I think it would have taken 3 hours to run it anyhow, because it was a whole lifetime, from earliest childhood to complete adulthood. All blind on a PC who was totally dependent on Visio. Well, that was a rough one to crack. Not many somatics connected with it. Nothing very dramatic that way. All right. The R factor has a great deal to do with this. The auditor, in this case, was suddenly uncertain. You wouldn't have been uncertain. I had a horror when I got halfway through running this. How in the name of God one of these auditors in class run this thing, you know? Because, brother, I was using the whole lousy lot, you know? I was just using the whole book of tricks from A to Izzard. You know, I was running emotional curves, and I was running not know in all different kinds of fashions, and I was using scanning, not scanning through engrams, but scanning through a lifetime. And, you know, you scan somebody through a lifetime and he'll hang up in the moment of trauma. You say, well, go to the beginning of this thing, now scan rapidly on through to the end of that life, and he'll hang up in the engram necessary to resolve that life, you see. And the engram was a whole lifetime, and I'd never expected this breadth. I thought I had about, you know, I didn't think about it very hard. I thought maybe I got an hour or two, see. An hour or two of a lifetime. Oh, no, 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 nothing like that. Something on the order of, I don't know, 60, 70 years. PC finally had a cognition. And PC exteriorized from the body and could see again. Well, she had the cognition. Well, she said to herself, you know, well, why didn't I do that a long time ago? You know? Why did I live that lifetime at all? That was what it amounted to. But the PC was on a chain where the PC is taking it all for granted. Okay? That chain is very usual to the PC, and it's very outrageous to the auditor. It's fantastic! And the PC said, oh, yes, yes. Something on the order of, well, they took the Empire State Building and parked it on a cloud and it sailed away, you know. And the PC's going on as perfectly usual, ordinary activities, you know. So they took a drink of water, you see, is the way it sounds to the PC going through it, you see. And to the auditor it says, well, so then they took liquid fire and poured it into everybody's eardrums. See, it's just gone, just completely jarred out. So the R factor couldn't have helped but be out in the engram. And only somebody with a natively high R factor, you might say, could have kept it in. But I had horrors. I said, how in the name of God could they run this one? In the first place, they would have said to the PC, what are you looking at? Ugh. And the PC would have said, blackness, and I don't know. And just about 10, 15 minutes of that type of questioning after it, you would have been absolutely certain, almost all of you, would have been absolutely certain there was no engram there. And the PC sitting right in the middle of it. And you would have gone off and tried to run another engram, your PC would have ARC broke, and that would have been that. So it was a dynamite situation. It's tricky. It's tricky. All right, well, you can confront that in due course, but confront first how to find a go. And the R factor is terribly important when you run an engram, but it is even more important when you are running goals. In the first place, Homo sap, apparently, gets in a games condition about goals, so the R factor will drop. What goals have you had? Go ahead, lift your goals. I dare you. Oh. Oh. I tell you, auditor reality, it had to be pretty bad to smother it, but auditor reality can be very bad while doing somebody else's goals because it's sort of a native games condition. Won't let the PC have a goal. Apparently, that's what it adds up to. So you just have to overcome this and somehow or another keep high R and do everything you're doing very positively and very confidently. And the way to do things positively and confidently is very simple. Just know your business. In order to be positive and confident, all you have to do is be superlatively good at your business. And what is your business? All right. It's very simple. You've got to have your triage, your model session, and know exactly what you're doing with a goals assessment. You know those things. You look confident. And if you're willing to let the PC have a goal, and if you're having difficulty getting the PC's goal, why don't you just ask yourself that question? Am I willing to let this PC have his goal? Why, you'll find out you can get this goal. Now, that is a different approach than rudiments in. I just call it to your attention here that this is another approach. This comes under the head of altitude. How much altitude do you have while you're auditing the PC? Will you have as much altitude as you are competent, and that is all the altitude you will ever have. You're competent also in that session. Your competence cannot go on automatic. All right, now, that is another approach, and if you can keep your competence level up and not stumble and bumble about the whole thing and do a proper job of it, you'll find out that the goal doesn't disappear. See? Now you've got another whole angle of it, is you buck this up with the rudiments, and you make the rudiments very good. And you make it so the PC doesn't have any immediate withholds from you. PC is willing to talk to the auditor, able to talk to the auditor. And get those rudiments in, get those in real good, make sure the PC doesn't have a present time problem, and so forth, and spend quite a bit of time on it. And then get your goals assessment done. Now let me call to your attention a mistake that was made on the Washington course, which was just conducted, and that is they were evidently, from the records Mary Sue was looking at, were doing a tremendous amount of security checking under the guise and heading of rudiments. Now, how the hell anybody managed that, I don't know, but it had nothing to do with the price of fish. the withhold that you were looking for while doing the rudiments is the withhold from you personally which will make the PC unwilling to talk to you in the session. You aren't looking for all of the withholds of the life. That is why you run a security check entirely independent of your normal sessions. You are not trying to do a security check while you were doing rudiments. And of course, you would foul up like mad. As much as 18 hours of the 30 hours devoted to looking for goals in the Washington course was devoted to rudiments. And that is just balderdash. I don't mind saying so, because it was all devoted to doing security checks. Can you think of any better way to deny OPC a goal? Isn't that interesting? You get up so far in the rudiments and you say, well, are you withholding anything from me? Something like that. And PC doesn't have any fault at all. There's no reaction. And you say, well, come now. You must be withholding something from somebody. Put it that way, yes. See, you never get around to doing a goals assessment. Smart, huh? Now, if you go on past that withhold button, maybe you want to know what the PC is withholding from you right now. You see, the rudiments are all nownesses. The present time of the rudiments and so forth, the present time problem as addressed in the rudiments, means a situation which exists now in the physical universe. Whether it's long or short durations, it must have a nowness about it. Now, the one thing we have stepped a little bit wide from on this is the rudiment concerning ARC breaks, because you find that the PC has had a limited auditing track, a very limited auditing track, a few hundred, most 1,000 or two, at the absolute outside. Some old timer might possibly come around with a 1,500-hour auditing track. In view of the fact that you've got a PC who has had many ARC breaks with other auditors, it is better to ask, what haven't you been able to tell an auditor, and when? You see, it's much better to approach it that way. But you will find out that you can also play this one to death. After you've done that with a PC once and have gotten the backtrack off, you should shorten that rudiment to me, not an auditor. What haven't you been able to tell me? When was that? See, you just cut down your track. Now, the other is under the heading, sort of a crossed-up thing of straightening up auditing with the PC at the same time that you were running rudiments. So remember that it's got a double barrel. The proper rudiment is just me. See, the rudiments are actually addressed to keeping the auditor in session with the PC, reverse-wise. Now the auditor has confidence that the PC is not going to go out of session, so of course he keeps the PC in session. That's the basic purpose of the rudiments. Nobody laughed. No, it just has to do with that session. The rudiments ordinarily have to do with that session, that auditor, and then on a gradient scale, it's that session, that auditor, auditors. Don't go outside the realm of the auditing session or auditing sessions if you really want to start doing fast rudiments and keep them in, because that's the rudiments that will be out. All you're trying to do with rudiments is not solve a case. You're trying to set up a session so the PC will be in session during that session. That is all. Now, you will find it necessary to establish a willingness to be a PC on a lot of people. Well, what's he willing to be and what is he unwilling to be? That goes a long way. That becomes a process. If you needle flatten it, it is adequate for your purposes. If you tone arm flatten it, of course, you've run the whole case. You get the difference between these two things. So don't, I've altered that little thing in my notes. I don't know if I passed it along to you in that form. But it is just needle flattened, all rudiments. Rudiments get needle flattened. Processes get tone arm flattened. Well, what's needle flattened? Well, when you ask the question again, do you get a needle reaction? You don't get a needle reaction, so you don't ask the question again. Now, that's fairly simple, isn't it? Not much to that. So let's take a look at this and realize that the first and foremost necessity is a competent auditor who doesn't know what he's doing, and a PC who is in session with that auditor, even though he might not be in session with some other auditor. That's your second requirement. And then actually let the PC have his goal. Don't go cat and mousing around about the thing. Let him have his goal. The goal will appear ordinarily in the first 150, and boy, that is a wide figure. I mean, that is a big figure. I think it ordinarily occurs in the first 50, but I'm just saying 150 just to take care of exceptions. Let him have it. If you haven't found it in that length of time, then assume, one, that you apparently haven't any altitude with this PC, and two, the rudiments are out. Well, now, how do you solve the altitude? Well, you solve the altitude with the PC by doing a competent job, and you get the PC in session, of course, by getting the rudiments competently done. That's all. And if I didn't get his goal in the first 150 goals the PC gave me, I would just go back and beat the rudiments to death on a whole basis. In other words, I would just hit this willingness to be a PC, you see, with that particular facet. What's wrong with the auditor is the unwillingness of the PC to be a PC. I'd make sure that the present time problems and so forth were at least kicked out a little bit. I'd make sure of all of these various points in the rudiments. I would just beat them to death, and I'd go back and do the same goals assessment all over again. I don't know that I would let somebody else check the rudiments, but seem rather dull. But you might have somebody else check the rudiments just in case they're only in with you or something, but aren't really in with you, or some goofball situation like this that you can't quite undo the lockup. What is this? It means the PC has become wary of giving you his goal, or the PC has become very distracted from the subject of goals. That's all it means. You haven't got the PC's goal in the first 150, well, the PC's become distracted. Now, goals by elimination is a perfectly valid way of finding goals. But this can be carried to much, much too great a length. You can do goals by elimination just by reading the list each goal once. Do you realize that? Just read the list over and over and over. You'll still do a goals assessment by elimination. You don't have to add repeater technique to it. It'll eventually work out. Actually, there's hardly even any time to be won. If you find the PC is getting edgy about repeater technique, we'll just start reading the goals list from beginning to end. Simple. Check each one and say, well, that one's in and that one isn't in, and so forth and so on. Go back to the beginning of it and read the goals list again. You'll find those that were in have now dropped out. And gradually it'll boil down to the one that's in, and that's it. Because only one goal is going to register. Now, there is a worse crime than doing a long goals assessment and finally finding the goal. There is a worse crime. And that is doing a stinking, lousy, hit-or-miss, who-cares, long goals assessment. Now you can really louse up a PC. That just wastes the whole works. It does worse than that. It actually harms the PC. So, do a careful goals assessment, and I won't say then that you should rush the goals assessment up just to get within 10 hours or that sort of thing. At the end of 10 hours, you're not sure. Well, keep on going. But remember, you've already got the PC's goal when you've had the first 150, and that's for sure. It would be a very unusual and rare case that it went any further than that. You keep asking PC for goals, you're just bludgeoning him. You're bludgeoning him with more goals you want, more goals, more goals, more goals, more goals. You can always add goals to the list, but don't knock a person apart because he can't think of any. And that was one of the symptoms that was turning up on these endless assessments. Auditor would finish the list and then demand more goals. You'd say, well, have you got any more goals? And the PC would get a needle reaction. Look, the needle reaction was on, for Christ's sakes, I haven't got any more goals. See, it was a needle reaction on an ARC break. And then the auditor would sit there and say, well, what is that goal? What goal, hell? I could have given it to him if I'd been PC at the time, you see. I'd wring your neck, man. You see, just as blunt as that, because that's what it amounts to. You get an ARC break read and you say, well, there's more goals. And that nonsense can actually continue by actual test for about 150 hours. Pretty grim, huh? There aren't any more goals. All are ARC breaks, but they never get cleaned up, don't you see? Every time your needle falls, well, you say, well, there must be more goals, but actually it's falling on an ARC break, and the PC does want to find what his goal is, so he somehow or another holds him in session, and he's more or less on auto by this time. See, the rudiments are wildly out when you get into this kind of a situation. No, sir, you go over a very elementary routine here, and without adding anything much to it, why, you will find the PC's goal. It is, of course, from my viewpoint, I'm explaining to you how to find a white pebble in the middle of a black desert. You see? It just isn't possible for anybody not to be able to do this. You know? Because of that impossibility, I eventually had to assign it to back. It's kind of a goals condition going on here, which is a super games condition. It's a specialized condition that relates to one human being letting another human being have a goal. And it's even gotten into auditing, which shocks me, you know, because I've never seen anything else get into auditing like this. Must be, though, it was happening all the way around the world. The first list of how you got the PC's goal is so simple, there's nothing much to it. I mean, so you got the PC to give you a list of goals, and then you went over and found out the one that fell the most, and that was the PC's goal. Auditors couldn't do that. Don't think they can. I don't think they can now. Because they read cognition surges and all sorts of things on these things. PC gets a new goal and he gets a hell of a surge. You see, hey, what do you know? When I was 9 years old, I wanted to blow up the local bank. Hey, what do you know? You know? They did. You know, he gets a big fall. The auditor says, well, that's his goal. Writes it down. That's it. And then says, all right, what's the terminal for this? Who would blow up a bank? And who'd blow up a bank? I guess bank robbers. Bank robbers would, huh? Well, who else would blow up a bank? Well, I guess most anybody would blow up a bank. Anybody. who would be capable of blowing up a bank? Well, my mother would be. Ah, your mother. Good, that's it. And, of course, they got a big fall on it because the person had a... That's odd, my mother. That flashes into mind. She'd blow up a bank. That's very peculiar, and you get a big fall. The fall was never repeated, by the way. The fall would never repeat on the bank, and it would never repeat on this terminal. So they assess mother on the pre-have scale. This, usually with great care, taking 8 or 9 hours to do this one. Get all the levels totally reactive, you see. And then pick out one, kind of at random, and then run it. You know? Next time they do the assessment, well, they got 15 levels live, and they run at that level for a little while. Next time they do the assessment, they got 24 levels live. They do the assessment, and run it again, and now they've got the whole scale live, and the PC is spinning in. This is actually the way it was going. So I developed assessment by elimination, and I found out it worked and proved it out to myself and found out that this was the way it worked, and I could do it very easily, and it actually made my job easier too, and that was dandy. And that is to say, you took these 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 goals PC gave you, and you eliminated them. And you found out, oddly enough, that they would all eliminate. Every single one of them would eliminate, except the PC's goal. And I figured, well, nobody could make a mistake doing that, so that was released that way. And the immediate response to that was to go on doing an endless goals assessment. Just keep asking for more goals and then more goals. And you were here, you know how that was. It was pretty grim. What was this? But I was operating on a datum that you don't know about. And that is that people have been assessed, some very rare cases, have been assessed to clear without finding the goal. They must have been, by former auditing, you see, just within about 3 or 4 centimeters of the top. And then you did an assessment, and they cognited on these things and blew forth to clear. It has happened. And in view of the fact it happened, I thought this other could possibly happen too then. But it didn't, and it doesn't. And a quick recapitulation on the whole thing showed that the goals were always within the first 150, and that was it. So, the upshot of this is that it's just assessment by elimination. Now, the person's going to rephrase goals, is going to think of different goals. Of course, you have to put those things down. But it's mostly when the PC volunteers them that you put those down. You're not beating him to death trying to find vast new numbers of goals. And you'll find that you've got the PC's goal, and that's it. Because it all eliminated, and only that goal is falling. Now, the speed with which you can do this is totally dependent on your skill, not the PC's difficulty. You've got a big altitude factor. You'll at once pull this PC's goal up, and there it'll be, you see. But if the PC's feeling a little bit queasy about goals, and it's getting ARC broke, and other things are going off, and the rudiments go out, all of a sudden the goal ceases to react. Evidently, it's a very delicate thing. Evidently, the rudiments out can suppress the goal. And in the absence of very much altitude, this happens easily. You got the PC's goal. The PC gave you the goal, but it disappears off the meter. So do the other goals disappear off the meter. Everything disappears off the meter. Why do they disappear off the meter? Well, because the rudiments are out, that is all. Rudiments are out. Of course, altitude has gone to hell, and PC isn't in session or anything else. Well, the proper way to do a goals list, the best way I know of to do a goals list at this time, is to ask the PC to come to session with a list of all of the goals they have ever had, and then sit down, take the various categories of goals, like secret goals, withheld goals, any other kind of category of goals that you can think of, and ask him for a few of those, and you ask him for a few more of those, any next category, and get a few of those. Run it down so you're not getting wild needle reactions on the thing. You wind up with a goals list there that be maybe as much as 150, maybe as little as 60 or 80. And then having gotten this, I just start in doing an assessment by elimination. Probably the best thing you ought to do in view of the difficulties we've had on it is to check the rudiments. Now that you've got the goals list, check the rudiments and start in from the beginning. And just mark the goals that react as you pass them by. And some of those goals will be quite null. Now, there's two ways you can do it, and both of them are quite valid. One, you can repeater technique them. Repeat the goal 2-3 times. If it's still in, leave it. If it's gone now, scratch it. And the other one is just go over the list. Just read the list, one goal after the other goal. Those that are still in, mark them as still in. The next time you read the list, those that are out, you omit. If they all disappear, consider that the whole list has been muffed. And get the rudiments very thoroughly in and go back over the whole list again just as though you'd never assessed. Now that would give you the PC's goal. I don't think you could miss. Once you've got the PC's goal, you want to be very sure that that is it. And the way to be very sure is to get somebody else to check it. Now, the way to check a goal is to take this goal against some of the others that were reacting last. You know, some that were still in, the last ones that disappeared, something like that. And read it over in comparison with the ones that were still in. You know, go by it casually as though it's just one of these other goals. Maybe not give it undue emphasis. And you may be reading 5, 6, 8, 10 goals there, you see. And you just go over this list, read them down, see if any of these other goals now react. And then find out if that goal is consistently reacting. First thing you want to do when you're checking is to check the rudiments. And then if the rudiments are out, get the PC to go back and get the rudiments put in. And then check the goal. Don't check goals with rudiments out. And you find that the goal, if that is the PC's goal, will react very nicely and very neatly, and that's all there is to it. Now, PCs often get very sure that such and so is their goal. And if I catch any student off of this course, I don't care, you can do it maybe off of a course in Lower Southumbria or something. Don't, for God's sakes, Q&A with this. Don't Q&A with a PC. Please, if you learn one thing here, please learn, don't Q&A with the PC. The PC says, well, I just know that's my goal. I just know it is. I just know it is. I just know it is. Look, that had nothing to do with the price of fish. The e-meter knows. Maybe it's their goal and maybe it isn't their goal. I've had PCs going around this very place saying, well, that's my goal, to blow up the First National Bank, and that's it. We know that. Yes, sir, that's my goal. There is no doubt about that, you see, and that's out tomorrow. That disappears. And their goal is something else. But they can get hung up on one of these goals. But this doesn't mean that because they get hung up on one and keep on telling you that that is the goal, that it isn't the goal. You see, the goal they're telling you about may be the goal and it may not be the goal. That's beside the point. Works same way with terminals. It may be the terminal, it may not be the terminal. What the PC's telling you had nothing to do about it. When you check it out, you know. What the PC says has nothing to do with it, that's all. You just never take what the PC says, that's all. You just don't do it. Because you're going to make some serious damn blunder that's going to wind up somebody in one awful mess. I'm not kidding. You take the wrong goal just because the PC said it was that. Well, you're playing an awful overt on that PC. And you take the wrong terminal just because the PC was absolutely sure that it was a bank president. That was the terminal, yeah. Who'd robbed the bank? The bank president. All right, that's it, because that's the most logical one. Of course, that's it. And so forth. Well, you buy that just because the PC says so. You run that on the pre-half scale, and the next thing you know, you have more levels live, and you run it on another level, and you've got more levels live, and you're just making the whole scale go live. And what you're doing is bringing into play every bit of the step six phenomena. Step six phenomena only took place when you were operating with the wrong terminal. Old bank beefs up. The whole bank goes live if you start running the wrong terminal. So it's a very dangerous thing to do. And it's not a mild thing to do at all. And one of the easiest ways to fall from grace on this is to take what the PC says is each terminal, regardless of what the E-meter says. The E-meter knows. If it doesn't check out in the E-meter, it isn't it. And if it fails to check out on the E-meter, it may still be it, but it means just the rudiments are out. Get the rudiments in, it'll react. Now, you assess a terminal exactly the same way, and there's tricky ways of assessing terminals. You can ask for both the cause and effect end of the goal, under the heading of terminals. Cause and effect end of the goal. I'm not scolding you, but actually my temper has been sorely tried in the last few months on this subject. It's looking for this, not a white pebble, it's this white mountain in the middle of a black desert. It's very simple. You just take any goal, and it usually has a cause and effect. You consider the goal cause, distance, effect, like a communication line, don't you see? And there's something that does it to something in almost every goal. In other words, I, you see, want to rob the First National Bank, all right? There's I who wants to do the robbing, and there's the terminal to be robbed. See, there's two things there. So you can get two lists, middle pier, on either end. But don't worry about that too much. And if you find it too difficult to reinterpret, just do the simple list. You just say, well, who'd rob the First National Bank? Or what would rob the First National Bank? You see? And something on that order. There is no point, however, in avoiding this. But only reason I'm putting this reservation in there is because I imagine there can be goals that if you just try your wits, trying to find out which is the cause and which is the effect end of the thing, like to be myself. Well, who is trying to be what? And you've opened up the whole field and you're nowhere. Of course, this is just a nowhere goal. It's quite usual. It's quite an ordinary goal for a PC to wind up with, to be myself. Great. Who are you? Now you got a tough terminals run, man. That's a tough terminals run. You got not a clue. Nobody's got a clue. What is the terminal? Myself. Who are you? That's the obvious thing you have to ask. All right. Who are you? Who is trying to be who? Is the double one saying. Who are you trying to be who? It's quite amazing that you can do a terminals assessment on it at all. Yet it's a very common goal. All right. Now you mustn't omit. You mustn't omit things as terminals. Because to a PC here and there, you're going to find a spacecraft is more real than a spaceman. And although we have always so far broken the what over to a who, you know, found spacecraft and it wound up to be a spaceman, I imagine from just that indicator that sooner or later there's going to be a what that doesn't break down to a who. It's going to be the First National Bank, and that is it. There isn't any who robbing anything. It's the First National Bank. See? That's it. That's the goal. Terminal. It's a what. We found enough of them. Well, here's a common sort of occurrence on the track. Fellow's riding around, minding his own business in a spaceship, only blowing up planets and doing other minor things. And hardly troubling anybody, you see, hardly at all. And terrific numbers of overture. And he smashes up spacecraft 1, spacecraft 2, spacecraft 3, spacecraft 4, spacecraft 5, then starts putting spacecraft 6 in danger, sort of impulsively. And it starts getting chipped up. And the next thing you know, this fellow will not assess as a who. This fellow will assess as a spacecraft. Good enough. If you can't make it come out to a who, well, it's obviously that's it. What's he done? He's sort of splattered all over a spacecraft and is being one. Now, you realize the body is a vehicle. This is not as odd as it might look. A body is a vehicle. Dayton Carrier. Now, you've got to use some sense in making a terminals assessment. But like in doing an assessment on goals, you don't prompt. You don't prompt. Just lay off prompting. The safest thing to do is to just leave it alone. That's the safest thing to do. If the PC doesn't say it, it isn't said. Because you can feed him something weird and get a reaction on it, and it isn't quite right, and then you have a lot of trouble, and you get an ARC break. And I think most of the ARC breaks on goals is prompting. See, I think that'd be the most fruitful source of them. So although I have prompted successfully, it doesn't mean that it always works. He says, well, I don't know, to be a denizen of the frozen north. Yes, that's the goal. That's the goal you're operating on, to be a denizen of the frozen north. All right. And you say, all right, well, give me a terminal for that. It's always a very safe question. I can't think of any. You say, well, who would be a denizen of the frozen north? Well, I can't think of any. Who would occupy the place? I can't think of anybody at all. Oh, what a temptation at this moment, you know, to say, because you know you got it on your own branch line of terminals, goals terminals, you know, say, the Royal Northwest Mounted Policeman? Well, of course, the PC has to reject this. TC has to reject this, and to that degree rejects you as the auditor. And every time you give a PC a suggestion of that character and he has to reject it, why, he's thrown you, had to throw you out of session. In other words, he had to go on auto to some slight, tiny degree. And this may be the source of these ARC breaks, maybe straight out of the area of prompting. I almost never prompt. But I've had four or five auditors sitting behind me while I was doing a goals assessment on somebody, passing me notes. It's just wide, you know. This isn't distractive at all to the PC, you see. It's wide. They don't realize that it's just because I'm trying to hold the PC in session that I don't turn around and say very impolitely, "Why don't you shut up?" If it's his wife, it's his wife. And if it isn't his wife, it isn't his wife. And that is all there is to it. Now, the auditor's phrasing of the goal won't run, much less assess, it won't run. It's got to be the PC's phrasing of the goal. So you start feeding them leads. Oh, wow. So you've just opened up the doors to all sorts of errors. He's got to reject the auditor. He can't rephrase it himself, you see. So just knock off the prompting and you will be a very much happier auditor. You know what's wrong with the PC. The PC is always looking like this, you know. Always looking like this. And he says, You know, he always does that. You say, he must be a robot. Very obvious he's a robot. Very, very, very obvious. And he sits there and he can't think of another terminal. He doesn't know what would be in a factory. See? He just doesn't have any idea, you know, what would be in a factory. Factory. Nobody in factories. Factories are always empty. You know, he goes, you think, God almighty, what a meatball, why is to this thing, you know, terrible temptation, you know, to say, could it be a robot? Could it be a robot? Well, he gets all wound up. He's got to reject you. Got to reject you by rejecting the suggestion, don't you see? And he's got to look at it. Now he's got to get his own thought channel straightened out back again. He doesn't quite know what he's doing. And you can waste half an hour session time just like that. Bang. That's the least that will happen. Will prompt him. Turns out it wasn't that at all. The terminal's a derrick. Mm-hmm. He finally fall wise to it. Now in view of the fact that the terminal has got a lot of not knowingness connected with it, don't expect them to come up with rapidity. Expect a lot of calm lags. Expect a lot of calm lags on something of that sort. Now, wherever you have a PC in session on a goals and terminal assessment, your temptation, because it is apparently a very loose action, not a very tight auditing situation, don't you see? He isn't running anything, and so on. Your tendency is to be loose in your auditing. You let down your barriers. And when you let down your barriers, your altitude goes right along with it. You've got to be more careful during a goals and terminal assessment of proper adherence to a professional appearance than in any other auditing situation. It's obvious that auditors haven't done this because they've taken forever to get terminals and calls. So casualness or lack of discipline in carrying out the routine must itself be very poor. Now, there is no routine designed that does solely a goals assessment. I thought of designing one time, and I said, oh, God, that's too something or other. a special model session, you see, for a goals assessment. I thought afterwards, oh, that's going too far, man. Another model session and that sort of thing. You don't have to have one. But you certainly have to keep up a professional demeanor, and you have to be very crisp, and you mustn't let it down, and you must carry it forward competently, or the goal will disappear, and later on when you get the terminal, it'll disappear. Anything is liable to happen in this line. So, you take your e-meter, and you put the PC on it, and you read things off in a very business-like fashion. You acknowledge every time whether the PC speaks or not. It is not necessary to have the PC say one single word while you're reading a goals or terminals list back to them. But always acknowledge as though the PC has spoken. Always acknowledge. You say to rob the First National Bank, he says absolutely nothing. You say thank you. Sounds kind of odd to you, but you find the PC gets hung up. He's kind of answered it, don't you know? He kind of, you know, you spot it. And that's enough. Now, for a PC to be required to speak or answer up or say very much while you're reading a list like this is quite distractive. And you think the PC may not be in session. So you may be trying much too eagerly to get the PC to look like a PC while you're reading this list. It's not necessary at all. All he does is sit there on total irresponsibility, holding the cans. That's enough. All I expect of a PC is the goals list and the terminals list, and to sit there in some kind of a state of attention, no matter how slight. That's all I expect of a PC in doing a goals and terminal assessment. You know, he isn't supposed to say, oh, well, yes, oh, rob First National Bank. Ah, oh, yeah, I just read that goal, I see. Rob the First National Bank. Let's see, I'll think about robbing the First National Bank for a moment. That's fine. Oh, bunk, you don't want to have anything to do with that. So you tell a PC before you start reading the list, you do not have to speak. You do not have to say anything if you don't want to. It is only necessary that you sit there and listen to me read this list. That is the only thing I actually expect you to do. And if you want to say something, why, by all means, do so. And you just say that to the PC before you start any kind of a list. And you'll find out you'll just make hay left and right, you know, wham, 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 right on down the line. All right, now on reading a goals or terminals list, you, of course, read only instant read. You do not read latent read. If the read takes place more than tenths of a second after you've read the goal or the terminal, it is a latent read. It must read now. And you'll find the further the terminal is off the line, the further the goal is off the line, the further the terminal is off the line. If you could time the meter reaction with a microsecond meter alongside of it, you would find there's a direct relationship to how far the goal is off the line to the length of time it takes the e-meter to respond. Unfortunately, it's measured in microseconds. The further it is, the slower the read. Until this gets over to total idiocy. You see, it's dropping 15 or 20 seconds after you've read the goal. Why, it's nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Pay any attention to it. It isn't even a read. It's an afterthought. Remember that the goal and the terminal are the sum and substance of the reactive mind. And if anything is going to instant read on a meter, it's the goal and the terminal. They're going to read right now. Instantly. So, you ignore latent reads. Well, now to be on the safe side, what do we mean by a latent read? It's any read that takes place from 1/2 to 1 second after the question is stated. Anything that takes place 1/2 to 1 second after the end of the question or the end of the terminal reading is a latent read. An instant read is anything that takes place up to 1/2 a second. That is just to make very sure that you don't miscalculate it, because you could be speaking to somebody who has difficulty with English and you've got a little calm lag. The calm lag won't be much, though. That'll just be that little split-second calm lag. You're reading, or you're doing a goals assessment on somebody from Germany, and you're doing it in English, and their native tongue is German, and they're having difficulty with English and haven't spoken it for a year or two or something like this. And you'll find out there's just a little wheel turn. But you'll find out this will occur on everything, so that you can quickly measure it up. And it's no more than a half a second, let me assure you. So that would be for a very special case. And the more it is close to the goal, and the more it is close to the terminal, the faster the read is going to occur. And as I say, if you had a microsecond meter, you could probably establish a goals assessment instantly and immediately by a second meter that is sitting alongside of this meter. You know, plugged into it. There was no current there after your voice impulse. It'd be a very complicated meter, which is why I don't advocate building one. It'd have to take voice impulse and measure the length of time from the voice impulse to the meter's impulse. In other words, it'd be slightly connected to the auditor in that his voice would actuate it, and when his voice ceases, it would have to instantly measure the length of time from his voice ceasing to a current going through the E-meter. I'm merely stating this just as an indicator. You'll see this as you get more experience on the thing, that it's fast. It's real fast. When you've got the person's goal, you say, bank pres, you got to read. You don't even get a chance to say bank president. Bank pres, read. And it's a cashier is the next terminal on the thing. And you say, cashier, read. Cashier isn't it. You could establish that actually with due attention to the E-meter, but nobody is asking you to do that, and that is not part of the routine or regimen. It's just a little indicator that you can, some nonsense that you can pay some attention to. Not even very valuable nonsense at the moment. All right. The characteristic of the reactive mind is that it hasn't a concept of time. That is the first thing that goes out in an engram, is the concept of time, so that the engram becomes all time. So, of course, that thing which reads with the least time is the most reactive. That is the total rationale. All right. Now, if you've gone all the way through a terminals list, and you suspect there may be some more terminals, why, by all means, get some more terminals onto the list. But this itself can be a defeated activity when you start getting up to 100 or 2 terminals. This just starts getting to be nonsense. Somebody has missed. I'd go back and I would take the whole group that I had gotten before I noticed the PC was having trouble giving them to me. I'd take the earlier group, and then I would cover that one with the rudiments in. I would get the rudiments thoroughly in, and then I would go over it, and I would pick the terminal out of it. Now, a person's terminal will only bury if the rudiments on the sessions in which it was found were out. It's the only thing that'll bury it. You clean up the sessions, it'll reappear. And therefore, you're interested in getting the thing checked, basically to find out if it still reads elsewhere. Now, in doing goals and terminals assessments, you can run into odd bugs. You can run into some interesting, odd propositions where the present time problem of the PC, which he doesn't actually realize, is getting in the road of his goals assessment. And his goals assessment is not his present time problem, or something is crisscrossed up like this. Well, it to some degree has to do with his rudiments being out. But that goal, which has to do with his present time problem, will read sporadically. It will read very sporadically. It'll be in, and it'll be out, and it'll be in, and it'll be out, and then it'll be out, and it'll be out, and it'll be out, and then all of a sudden it's in again, and so on. It's not any instant read connected with the thing, a thing just working. So you can suspect that there might have been something wrong with the auditing room, or might have been something wrong with the auditor, there might have been something wrong with the session's present time. That's the first thing you ought to suspect on something like that. And as I say, we had the example of somebody being assessed up on the second, British second floor. And what do we find? We find the person's fear of height was getting this, and I was told afterwards, after I mentioned this last time, that being audited in the basement had something to do with kicking in dungeons or something in the side. So that wasn't so good either. We still got the person's call, so it's all right. But a present time problem of the auditing environment wasn't a present time problem in life. It had to do with life or livingness. It was just having to do with the auditing environment. It was kicking in and raising the devil with the goals assessment. Well, actually, that should have been discovered on the question, is it all right to audit in this room? So it goes right straight back to rudiments out. The rudiment was out, and the rudiment that was there, is it all right to audit in this room? And that should have been caught, and all that difficulty would have been avoided. Don't you see? You wouldn't have any questions at all on the thing. All right, to recapitulate, to do an assessment, it is best to tell the PC to go off someplace and sit down and, you know, tonight or something, do a full list of goals. You can also give them withheld goals and secret goals or anything else you want to give them on the list and say, give me goals for all of these subjects and so forth. And you come back with a large sheet of paper and he sometimes has 100 goals on it. And then you yourself look at the meter and ask if he's got any more on this subject, that subject, or the next subject, you see. And you've made sure that he doesn't have any ARC breaks on this, and you just drain down the needle reaction, and you get a few more that he might not have mentioned or might have been too reticent to tell somebody about or something like this. And then that's about it. Just consider, well, you've got the list. All right, that's fine. Now, your reading of that list can be done by repeater technique, going over and over and over, which is the common, most accepted way of doing it, but which can wind up some PCs in difficulty. Or just reading the list over and over, and every time you get an instant reaction from a goal, you mark that it's still in, and you no longer get an instant reaction on another goal, and you consider it's out, and you just scratch goals and check goals, and scratch goals and check goals, and that's all you do. And you finally got it down to the end of the thing. You find out you've got two or three reacting. Maybe that was the end of that session or something of the sort. And catch it the next time and go over that, and then maybe go over the whole list again before you get real sure. Find out if they're all null, you know. Then you got it down to one goal. And there's one goal that just is consistently reacting, and it reacts very nicely and very consistently, and that's it. We'll get somebody else to check it. Now, if that goal has not appeared, the first thing that you must assume is that the rudiments were out in that session. So you laboriously put the rudiments in now. You put them in with a thud. Don't try to do a full security check when you get the withholds, but let's find out if there were any withholds while that goals assessment was going on. And let's find out if there are any withholds from you particularly. You know, that kind of thing. And get this thing in, get it back real good, and then do a goals assessment from scratch. Well, this is less difficult than you'd think. Much less difficult than you think, because most of them will be out now anyhow. And you'll only be left with a handful of goals, and you'll come right on back, and you will find the person's goal again. Well, what if this happened again? Well, by this time, get the rudiments in. And do it all over again. And set the case up, and just keep doing that. Not getting more and more goals and going on and on and on and on and on with the compounding errors. You got it? All right, now, same way with a terminal. Same way with a terminal. You got the person's goal, you're going to do a terminals list. I actually don't care what wording you use to do the terminals list. There's a cause end of the terminals line, effect end of the terminals line. There apparently there are two lists, but you can get far too mechanical for this. And you could say, well, who wanted to be a baseball player? The fellow says, I did. Well, that's not informative, because you certainly can't run I as a terminal. And, all right, you... It's an oddity for you to say, well, so you call a baseball player, or who would play baseball, or something like this. And you get some more of these, and some more of these, and some more of these. And the reason you do that is because the PC statement, baseball player, might be just a hair out. It may be a pitcher, you see. It may be a batsman. It might be something else. It's just enough out that it won't quite run. And you get that thing straightened out, and you usually got it. But a goal of this particular character, and I'm taking somebody else's goal in vain, but I'm sure that she won't mind. A goal of this character, to have a particular kind of body. Well, that leaves the doors wide open, don't you think? What's a particular kind of body? And you get a description of this body. What would you call such a body, you think? Who would have such a body? What kind of a body is it? See, I give you two lists, you know. Who would have it, and what is it? And you get that list and shake that list down and get that all straight and got it made. And that's the proper way to do one of these things. When you've got that taped, it will make a considerable difference in your PC. And your final tests of the thing are these. Did it make much difference to your PC that you found that terminal? Does this make any difference to PC? Well, if it didn't make much difference to PC, there might be some question on it. Not enough question on it, however, but to cause you to do the final test. And the final test is such an elementary test that it is hardly even worth describing. You assess the PC on the prehab scale. And assessing the pre-clear on the prehab scale, you find a level for that terminal. All right. You run that level until the tone arm motion slows down. You're not getting very much tone arm motion left. Sometimes you have to run the level for a while to get some tone arm motion to appear. But let us say the tone arm motion has appeared and disappeared off the tone arm. And you do a reassessment. Well, the first time you assessed, there were only four levels live of the pre-halv scale when you did it. And this time you do an assessment and you have 12 levels live with a pre-halv scale. You'd better drop that just like a hot potato, because that is a wrong terminal. And if you persist in running it any further than that, the PC is going to go into the soup. So what do you do at this time? You get the rudiments in and you do a goals assessment using the original list. And you find the PC's goal, and you're much horrified because it's the same goal, probably. And then you get the terminal's assessment on the thing, and you'll find that that was wrong. Now, it can only be wrong if you did it wrong. But something slipped. It's the wrong terminal. And that is a positive proof. If you want to get a good auditor reality on this sometime, pick a terminal at random on a PC. You know, you pick a terminal. You know, you make up your mind now that this person looks like a robot. So you say, that's fine. Now, we're going to run a robot on the prehab scale. All right. Now we're going to do an assessment on a robot. Would a robot be serene? And here we go, see? Whichever way you assess it. Would a robot have faith? And I imagine some academy student is doing probably this very instant as asking somebody, would a robot have TR-10? Go up the list very nicely, do a proper assessment. You will find that the robot will assess by elimination. Yes, the robot does have a level. That's fine. Now we're going to run this level. Note carefully, however, how many levels a robot was alive on the pre-half scale. Note that carefully and mark it down an arithmetical number. There were five levels live on the pre-half scale when we assessed a robot. There are the pencil dots that say which levels were live. There are five. Now we're going to run it. And we give it a 2.5-hour enthusiastic run with all the rudiments in and everything going along just perfect. You see, the auditing demand perfect, five-leg bracket, everything is fine. Now reassess it on the pre-half scale. You're going to find about 10 levels live. Well, good. They will assess two. So you assess those things down to just got one level left. Now we're going to take this one level. We make a perfect command. We get the rudiments in if we can. And we're going to take this one level and we're going to run it on the robot. Good. We're going to run it for 2.5, 3, 4 hours. Oh, the prefer will be getting gains. PC will be feeling much better. Odd semantics, but very much better. Not quite sure, but probably all right. Confidence in the audit thing, you see. And now flatten that second one. And now you've got 5 and 10 written up there in the corner. Do another assessment on the PC, on the pre-half scale, and you're going to find anything. You're not going to find 5. You're not going to find 10. You'll be finding 15 or 20 levels live. Actually, works out. Works out every time. It's just a mysterious little slight empirical fact that moved in sideways on us. Your arbitrary terminal is not the PC's terminal. Well, you haven't heard me saying too much lately about auditing pre-half 13. A little of it goes an awfully long ways. Why? Because you're running arbitrary terminals. Oh, yes, they're assessed terminals to some degree. Oh, yes, well, you can't get into too much trouble with it. But let's really make a good, hot, fast run. We decide the trouble with this married couple is each other. And we take the husband and we're going to run him on the wife. And we assess the wife on the pre-half scale. And instead of giving it a light run on the needle, as I was advising earlier, we give it a tone arm run with full tone arm tests for flatness, you see, and everything, and so on. And it hasn't anything to do whatsoever with his terminal line. It's way off. His terminal line is a ditch digger, and you're running a wife, see? Great day in the morning. He's going to get worse and worse. He'll get worse and worse toward his wife, too. This situation won't resolve at all. Why? You're running another terminal, and the PC is in. And he's not on that terminal line, and because you ran it, you, of course, are creating the step six phenomenon. You're beefing up the whole bank. Now, you can do it for a little while and get away with it. But it's almost too close a borderline for you to do it at all. It's something you can do. It's something you can get away with. But isn't something I would advise you to do. Because there's several tests on it, very recent tests, have been confirming the fact. And it seems to be quite invariable that if you run the wrong terminal, the whole scale goes live. And, of course, then this would apply to specialized terminals of any kind, which weren't the pre-clears terminals. Now, if you run a level flat on the pre-half scale, and you reassess, the pre-half scale, current, that you're using, not the rewritten scale, which you will have very shortly, the one with just 65 levels, that's the one I'm speaking of. There's another one that is slightly longer. That's all, or just a few little additives and changes on it, modernized it. But there are several harmonics on that 65 number scale. And of course, you will usually get 4 or 5 levels. When you assess, you'll get 4 or 5 levels falling, and then they separate out and they fall down to 1. All right. That's normal. But if you're running the right terminal, the next time you do the assessments, you'll get 4 or 5 levels, and they assess down to 1. And the next time you do assess the terminal, you'll get 2 or 3 levels, and they assess down to 1. The next time you do it, you get 4 or 5, and they assess down to 1. You know? It's never increasing. You don't get more and more levels the more assessments you do on successive runs. And if you're running the right terminal, the right terminal will only drop on a few levels, and the next time you assess, it won't have increased. There won't be any more levels than that. So that is a good way to know whether or not you're running the right level. That is always the first question I ask after there has been a pre-hab run on somebody's terminal. How many levels went alive? Okay. Because if an additional number of levels went alive over and beyond the first assessment, we know he has the wrong terminal. So that confirms and proves up at once the goal and terminal of the PC. So there is a way to prove it up. Well, that's a good thing to know, isn't it? You're not swimming in the dark there at all. Now, somewhere along the line, if the sessions are very bad, if rudiments have been consistently out, the PC stops making progress on general runs. Once more, the invalidation of the goal, the invalidation of the terminal, still hold true during the run. It wasn't true that they just disappeared during the assessment. It is also true that they can disappear during a run by reason of out rudiments. So goals runs, which are undertaken without rudiments, tend to suppress the goal and terminal of the PC. And you get up to a point where you can't get the goal to register, and you can't get the terminal to register, and you can't find the level on the pre-half scale, and you don't know what the hell is going on, and you say, well, the PC must be flat on that. Before you declare it flat, knock the rudiments to pieces. Go back and get those rudiments in, and try to get them in for every session he's been run on, too, you see? Just ask him, well, actually the ARC break process, using the word auditor, will take care of the background of it. What are you willing to be, what are you unwilling to be, will take care of the PC. That is, the willingness to be audited takes care of that point. ARC break was the one I meant first. Take care of the ARC break with the auditor. What were you able to tell, and what should the auditor have done, or what didn't he do? This, for all sessions. So these rudiments which you have now, and which just came out on an HCOB today, should be put in. And then the whole picture should be examined again, and check him again for his goal, check him for a terminal, and so on. And if they're gone now, well, that's dandy. You've got to do a brand new goals assessment, a brand new terminals assessment, because you've actually closed out one goal, one terminal. Now, the way you do this second run, when you think you have that terminal flat, the way you do that second run is of less interest right now than it was. But you, of course, always first check for an additional terminal for the same goal before you go assuming the goal is dead totally. You may find there's a second terminal on the thing. If you don't find one, why, dandy. Now you will get to the successive situation whereby the person does give you goals and does give you terminals, and this is what starts looking now by the actual, reliable, endless assessment takes place now. Well, you've got a terminal flat and a goal flat, and now endless assessment can be expected. Any time now. You may find another goal. You may find another terminal on the second time. That's quite probable. You may get it over on the pre-half scale, a terminal over on the pre-half scale, and get it assessed there. And you may get it run. And it may take a while to run it. Not necessarily, it just may. But when you've got that one gone, it is much less likely now that this same cycle will repeat. But you're going to have to try to find a goal, just as I have told you, just as you did originally. You're going to have to find a terminal. You're going to have to try to get it over onto the pre-half scale before it evaporates. You're going to have to try to get it run before it evaporates, and then it's gone, and there's nothing you can do about that. So you've got to do another goals assessment, and you apparently now are in the stage of endless goals assessments. You get into that stage right about then, and you just, any more goals, any more goals, any more goals, any more goals. And the fellow finally said, well, yes, I had a goal one time, was back in Arsalicus, and that was to bash the foreman in the head. All right. You check it, and it stays in, and you say, all right, now let's find a terminal for it. Foreman. You didn't make it. Disappeared. Looks like an endless goals assessment, don't you see? What's happening is the fellow's doing erasure and clearing by goals and terminal assessment. But that occurs normally with most cases, only after a tremendous amount of work has been put in on the original goal. Now, of course, you've speeded this up and accelerated it when we get into the running of engrams. You run the goal for a while. A lot of pictures have come up. The PC has avoided these pictures, and they all will. You've got to get in and run some engrams. And you get these engrams cleared up. Now you've probably accelerated and brought much nearer the idea of the endless goals assessment. And there's one PC who was almost clear, but couldn't check out as clear. reacted on certain things that the HCO6 said, you know, gave him certain questions, reacted on them, and was told you didn't make it. And he says, to hell with this, and he went home, and he wrote 3 pages of terminals and came back in, checked out clear. Quite interesting. Happened down in Johannesburg. In other words, he apparently just had been left with one terminal cycle hung up, possibly on his last goal or something like that, and he just went home and wrote the terminals and went clear. Didn't even require an auditor. Well, by that time, you can be dispensed with. But anyway, looking over all of the nuances and oddities of assessment, I don't see how you can make a mistake if you follow these various directions. If you do a good workmanlike job, I don't see how you can err. I really don't see how you can err. And I don't expect you to manage it. Okay? Thank you.